Well, this morning we're going to continue our Sunday series that's titled Catching Fire. We've been on this for a few weeks now. I kind of subtitled this morning's message, Catching Fire and Keeping Your Fire. Catching Fire and Keeping Your Fire. And really been looking at what the Bible says about the last days. The Bible says that you and I are living in the last days. Matter of fact, 2,000 years ago, it's recorded in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit first fell on that Pentecost Sunday, and the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and with power. And really, nothing has changed. The same power is available for you and I to preach the gospel, to walk and live a righteous life, to tell others, to heal, deliver, to save, preach the gospel, and really to catch fire with the presence of God. But everywhere I turn, I see Christians so much of the time, we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we get born again, we have some passion in our lives for a while, but many of us grow weary and well-doing, if you will. Many of us grow tired, and really, I believe the Lord is saying, it's time to stir ourselves up. Listen, if we would just stir ourselves up and take hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of for us and say, Lord, just stir me up, fill me with your passion. I mean, I see everywhere, you know, so many Christians don't read their Bibles on a regular basis. They don't pray in other tongues. And listen, you and I should be filling ourselves up on the gifts that God has given us to be able to be able ministers to the world around us. Listen, you and I can't do this ourselves anyway, and I think that's why so many of us grow weary and grow tired is we're not familiar with how to stir ourselves up. And this morning we're going to really look at the Word of God because I think a lot of people lose their passion because we're not spending time in the Word. And again, it's not a legalistic thing where you got to read five chapters and you got to spend so many hours. Listen, if you took just one passage of Scriptures, I'm talking one, two verses, and meditated on that for a whole week. Something, I mean, we'll just take one. It says that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If you just meditated on that for one week, I guarantee you would start to look at your life a whole lot different. And if you took one every week, 52 scriptures, I'm not saying, now I think it's good to read the whole Bible, but listen, I'm not saying you have to read the whole Bible even. If you took a scripture and meditated on it, a year from now, you would be different. You would be more on fire for God. You would be stirred up more because I really believe the Bible teaches us that the Word of God is what waters the seed on the inside of us. The Bible says that Jesus is the seed of God, all right, that has been given. And when we receive Christ, we're receiving the seed planted on the inside, the Holy Spirit. And then you and I nurture that. Listen, it's not by good works that we do, but the Word of God waters, if you will. The Bible says that the Word of God regenerates, recreates, if you will, on the inside of us. It says that God washes us, Jesus washes us with the washing of the water of the Word. And so it's really important that we realize, look, this is not something we can do on our own. And if you and I would just let the Word of God do what it's meant to do and let the Holy Spirit work in our lives, we would bear much more fruit. We would have our prayers answered. We'd be more encouraged. We'd be on fire for God if we would just catch fire with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water into repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. When you and I catch fire with the presence of God, I believe he's consuming us from the inside out. We're just passionate for God. We're looking to heaven where our help comes from. The Bible says that we should make our focus in heaven where Christ is seated. And so what we're doing is we're saying, Lord, I know what you've done in my life. I know that you have given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. I know that I have no lack. I know that you have made me more than a conqueror. And even though my life may not look like that now, that's what you've done in me. And that is the goal that you're taking me to. But it's a work that he does by his powerful word. Romans 12:1-2, we've looked at quite a bit, says that really we're living sacrifices to God. And our prayer should be, Lord, consume me. Consume me with the power of your presence. We've looked at Titus 2 that says that the grace of God teaches us. Now, most of us know what the grace of God is. We come into the relationship with Christ Jesus, not of our own works. We say, Lord, I believe that you died to save me. And we enter into relationship with him. But grace is not something that just happens once. Grace is something. Matter of fact, Joseph Prince says, grace is a person. And I think that's a true description because the Bible says that grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. And so the truth is we're pursuing that grace. We're looking, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, and he transforms us from the inside out. But many Christians have lost their passion, lost their fervor, if you will, just to seek God. I'm not talking about good works. I'm not talking going out and, you know, it's a good thing to get a duffel bag in a couple of weeks if God puts that on your hearts. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about pursuing Christ. Hebrews 6:11, last week we looked at it, says that we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to full assurance of hope until the end, that we don't become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises of God. Sluggish really means just to really become slothful or dull. So the question is, am I allowing my Christian walk to lose its passion, to lose its purpose? Our relationship with grace keeps growing. 2 Peter 1:2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power is given to us, all things," say all things, "that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So see, what he's telling us here is, look, we are escaping the things that are driving this world towards providing for themselves. In other words, the Bible tells us in Timothy that we sin when we're drawn away by our own desires, by our own lusts. What he's saying is, look, I've met every need, so if you just keep fixed on me, look, I've taken care of everything that you will ever need, and the divine nature of God is planted in you in seed form, and now we water it and we believe. And we water it with the Word of God, and we believe, and we pray in the Holy Spirit, and we believe. We get around other Christians, and we have fellowship, and we pray with one another, and we believe that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Then he goes on, and he says, for this very reason, he says, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Then he says to add self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. So what you see is the grace of God is something that continues to grow, continues to really produce a harvest in our lives. Then he says in verse 9, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I think many times, so many of us can really lose our passion, lose our fervor, lose our focus, because we've forgotten what Christ has done for us. The Bible says the same way in Colossians, the same way that you receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him, Colossians 2:6. And so you and I should really just be looking to Jesus. The way we came into relationship with him is the way we continue to grow, the way that our relationship continues to expand as we water the seed that God has planted on the inside of us. In Ephesians 4, chapter 17, Paul the Apostle says, with the Lord's authority, let me say this, live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. I mean, no, when we don't have Christ in our lives, we're hopelessly confused. I remember before I came to Christ, I didn't know which way was up. I had no idea what life was for. I thought life was one big party. Verse 18, their closed minds are full of darkness. They are far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. They live, their lives rather, are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. And so he's saying, look, don't live your lives the way the people in the world do. He's saying, look, don't look like that. He's not saying we have to do this, don't do that, don't chew, don't drink, don't smoke, and run with those who do all those things. But he's saying, look, don't live this way. He says this in verse 20, but that isn't the way that you learned Christ. Again, the same way you've received Christ, so walk ye into him. Verse 21, since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, he says, throw off your old nature, or evil nature, and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through. You know, your old man is just rotten to the core. That's not what's saved. That is really going to be redeemed. Remember, we said before, you're a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Your body, my body, is not going to be saved, if you will, until he comes to redeem us at what many call the rapture, the gathering of the saints, when those who are dead will rise first and then we'll meet them together in the air. And so, you know, that's not even the part of us that has this relationship with God. The relationship we have starts in the new man. So he says, throw off your evil nature, which is rotten. He says, instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. You must display a new nature because you're a new person created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. And so what we're doing is we're focusing, if you will, on what Christ has already done for us. He's already made us pure and perfect in God's eyes. But now you and I are looking at that. Really, that's why the Bible says to focus on Jesus. You want to know what you look like in God's eyes? Look at Jesus. That's exactly how God sees you and me. Now, we may be thinking, wow, really? Hang around with me for a while. Well, that's not the way God looks at you. But listen, as Christians, if we're not looking in the Word, if we're not pursuing Christ, if we're not asking him to help us to grow in this relationship, all we can do is look at the natural man. There's nothing else left. And so he's saying, make your focus in heaven. Again, it's not about the natural man, but it's looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. As we've already mentioned, the Bible tells us in Galatians 3:16, that Jesus is a seed. We need to water that seed, allow the Holy Spirit, really, if you will, to germinate that seed. I think so many of us have this seed on the inside. You know, you're just dirt anyway. You realize that, don't you? You really are. The Bible says that we are created from dirt. That's how we created Adam. And so you know what? We're just like soil that God has planted the seed in. We're going to look in a minute how the Bible tells us that the seed is the Word of God, and you and I need to nurture that. We need to water it, if you will, with the living water of the Spirit of God. Jesus said that if we were to abide in Him, that we would produce fruit. So it's about abiding in the presence of God. Read with me, if you will, 1 Peter 1:23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass withers and its flowers fall away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. The Bible tells us that Jesus, the living word, became flesh. And so it's the Word of God, the seed, if you will, that is now producing fruit on the inside of us. Listen, if we're not producing fruit, it's not the Word's fault. The Word is perfect. Sometimes we'll say, well, I meditated on a scripture and you know for a week, and I didn't see anything happen. Don't quit. Don't give up. Listen, you and I, sometimes I think we just cast off restraint too early. We say, well, I don't see it looking like that. Look at, keep looking at Jesus, because that's how God sees you. Keep meditating on His Word, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to make it there. Wednesday, we had some fun. We were talking about storms in life on Wednesday. Some of you were here, and one in particular story where it says that Jesus kind of sends the disciples out into the water, and then He goes up on the mountain to pray. And then in the middle of the night, there's a storm that rises, and they're out there being tossed about, and Jesus comes walking on the water. So here they are. They're in fear. They're thinking they're going to die. They think they see a ghost, and it's Jesus just coming. Wednesday, we said, He's singing the happy song. How many ever heard the happy song that people are singing nowadays? And so I just made that up. But he's just, because Jesus is not freaking out. But you know, the thing is, we said, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. If you stay with Jesus, you're going to make it to the other side, no matter what. I mean, the Bible says that Peter walked on the water. He's the only one recorded that's ever done that. Walked on the water, and then he started to sink, and he looked to Jesus, and they ended up in the boat, and they were on the other side. But you know what's going to happen is if we get our eyes off of Jesus, if we jump the boat, immediately, if you're heading in a storm this way and you say, I'm scared, I can't go that way, you're going to jump out and do what? Swim back to shore. And we end up right where we started. So don't give up. Don't give in. Stay in the Word. Meditate on the Word. Pursue righteousness. Jesus said that if we would seek the kingdom of heaven first, that we would have fruit in our lives. A transformation would take place. In Isaiah 55:11, the Bible says that God's Word will accomplish that which He set it out to do. So be encouraged this morning. Don't quit. Keep meditating on the Word of God. Let it produce a harvest on the inside of you. Let that transformation take place. Get your prayers answered. Jeremiah 17:7, he says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, and its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. Listen, if you and I would just have deep roots seated in the Word of God, we'd be drinking rich of the living water. Jesus said, he who believes in me, that out of his belly would flow rivers of living water. And that living water is the Word of God. And that's how we bear fruit. Jesus spoke in parables from time to time when he was teaching the disciples, when he was speaking to the people of his time. And one parable in particular, many of us are probably familiar with, Mark chapter 4, which is called the parable of the sower. And Jesus says that if we understand this parable, we'll understand all parables. If we don't understand it, we won't understand the parables. He's really showing us how the kingdom of heaven, if you will, works, how it operates, how the Word of God bears fruit in our lives. And he's saying, you and I need to understand this. So I want to look at it in Mark chapter 4, and we're going to look at it out of Matthew in just a moment. But read with me, if you will, Mark chapter 4, verse 3. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Now this word wayside, literally if you look at it, you think back in those days, they walked everywhere. And it's like looking at a path that has been trodden down, a path that has been, it's just hard, hard earth. If you take and you throw a seed on that, it will not grow. All right, that's the picture that he's giving us. And you know, this can, by the way, he describes four different types of soil in this parable we're reading, this being the first. And every one of us can probably identify with all four of those at one point in our life. You know, we may, how many, just be honest, you can't lie in church. How many of you open up your Bible sometimes, you read and you go, wow, that was great. I mean, come on, just be honest. You know, there's times you read and you're like, that meant nothing. But the Bible says that it will accomplish that what it set forth to do. Now, right there would be a good picture of the wayside. Some of you are sitting here this morning. Some of you are taking notes. Some of you are getting a bunch of stuff off this. Because, listen, the Word of God produces. The Word of God just works on the inside of us. Others of us may sit here this morning and be like, I don't know what the heck he said. All right, don't ask me what I said after service. I can't tell you. But again, that's wayside. Again, I'm not trying to criticize anyone. I'm just saying we understand that there's times where it doesn't. But the Bible says we can bear fruit. Say, I can bear fruit. And listen, it really comes by allowing the Lord, if you will, to cultivate the soil. And the way we cultivate the soil is by pursuing Him, by pursuing our relationship with Him, not by works of righteousness, but constantly looking to Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, expanding and growing in this grace that is called Jesus, pursuing Him, looking to where our help comes from. In verse 5, he says this, some fell on stony ground where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Now, this is us who maybe come to a service. We already described one type. We'll come to service, and we just don't know what the pastor said. The other ones are ones that they got something, but as soon as they got to the parking lot, they remembered who they were married to. No, I'm just kidding. Just having fun with you. So we bear fruit all the way. We might have even had an extra long time. We stopped in the restroom. And as long as we didn't see anybody, we were okay. We were out the door. No, come on. So we bear fruit for a little while. But any one of us can understand, look, we might bear fruit for a while, but then it kind of withers away. That's not the kind of fruit that God wants us to bear. Verse 7, he says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no crop. But some fell around good ground and yielded a crop and sprang up, increased and produced some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. And he said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And so what he's saying is, look, trials, the third type of soil, is trials come and it chokes the word out. That's the time where you say, well, I know the Bible says that he's given me all that I need that pertain to life and godliness. I know the Bible says that I should give and I should give joyfully. And so I gave in church, but then I feel like, boy, I don't know if I can pay my bills. I might know. Right there, the world comes and tries to choke the word. Or maybe you got a report from the doctor and you're saying, by his stripes I am healed. And the doctor said, no, this report says you're sick. I mean, no, it could choke it. But he's saying the fourth type is the type that bears fruit. And isn't it interesting? Four different types. So 25% of us, 25% of people who hear the word, listen carefully, really get a harvest in it. That's what Jesus is saying. 25%. And if you look at statistics, that really bears witness straight across the board. Even take a church, a volunteer organization, they estimate that some 20, 25% of the people do all the giving, do all the working in a church and things like that. And sometimes because we got busy schedules, I'm not trying to heap guilt on anybody. I'm just saying, if you look at it, that's exactly what you see. Sometimes you'll see in an organization that 20, 25% of the people get most of the work done. That's just the way it works. But so he's saying here, 25% of us, how many want to be 25% to get the harvest? Come on, come on. You know, and that should be every one of us. But the goal is Jesus. Jesus is producing the fruit. Remember I said, if you would just take one scripture, one, two verses every week and just look at that thing. Maybe write it on a card. You don't even have to spend hours in the Word. You can just write that thing down. You meditate on it. Take a look at it and say, the young lions suffer hunger and want, but those who wait on the Lord shall lack no good thing. Lord, I'm waiting on you. I know I'm not going to hunger. I'm not going to want. Oh, I know, Lord God, you've met my needs according to your riches and grace by Christ Jesus. Oh, I receive it. And you put it in your pocket. And then maybe you look at it later in the day. And then you take that for a week. For one thing, you're going to memorize that thing. Now, you may not even know where to find it. You may not be able to find the location of the Bible. Maybe you can, but maybe you can't. But what starts to happen is that word starts to water the seed of God that's on the inside. Are you with me this morning? And it just waters it, and it just waters it, and it just waters it. Before you know it, it's like, boy, I am a different person. I'm a different person. That's how the seed of the word starts to bear fruit in our lives. Author, teacher Andrew Womack, in his book titled Effortless Change, says this. He said, inside of every person, there's a spark. There's a potential for spiritual perception and receiving from God, but it must be developed. Since most people spend virtually no time focused on the things of the Lord, they become spiritually dull. Since there's no way the Lord can speak to such people, he puts spiritual truths out there in parables. And so see what he's saying here is, look, most of us spend virtually no time on spiritual things. And I believe that's true for Christians. And it shouldn't be. It should not be. We have the born-again nature of God on the inside of us. We have the seed of God planted on the inside of us. But the problem is, as we just read earlier in Ephesians, we're focusing too much on the things of the world and we're not focusing on Jesus. Our lives are kind of like one foot in the kingdom here, one foot in the world over here. Now listen, we're of the world, or in the world rather, but not of it. We should look different. Matthew 13:10, Matthew's account of the same parable, he says this. And the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Therefore, verse 13, he says, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. The Bible says in all of your getting to get understanding, to get wisdom in Proverbs. Then in verse 15, he says, for the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should what? Heal them. And this word grown dull here, if you look in the King James, it says waxed gross. Waxed gross. And what it really means is if you ever see anybody make a candle the old-fashioned way where you take a wick and you dip it in wax. Anybody ever seen that? And you just keep putting more on, keep putting more on, keep putting more on, keep putting more on. And so the picture that you get here is Jesus says, look, our hearts grow dull, grow waxed. And really, I believe it's because we got too much of the world. We got too much carnal living. Got our eyes focused on ourselves. We got too much of our own self-righteousness. We got too much hiding. We got too much blame. We got too much gossip. We got too much. All these things in our lives, yet we don't have much of focusing on the author and the finisher of our faith. Because I believe the presence of God is what melts that wax, if you will. Our wax may have grown cold in certain areas. There's a time that Jesus says to his disciples, why? Why have your hearts grown so hard? He said, didn't you see that I fed the multitudes with bread? I think many times we can kind of we're allowing ourselves to just live in the world. We're not pursuing Jesus Christ. We're not praying in the Holy Spirit. We're not letting him conform us from the inside out. Look what it says in Psalm 97:5. He says, that the mountains melt like wax in the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. See, the fire of the Lord will correct us. It'll transform us. It'll change us. Hebrews 12:1, he says this. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. Remember, Paul said, boy, just cast off that old man. Start to live out of that new man. And you see here in Hebrews the same kind of thinking. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Author, preacher Joseph Prince, he says this in his book, The Power of Right Believing. He says, keep your eyes on the King of Kings, and he will exalt you and cause you to become mighty. Listen, you and I should be focusing on Jesus. We should be consumed with him, if you will. I mean, there's going to be times where he might wake you up at 5 instead of 6. Holy Spirit might come and maybe get one eye open. And you say, uh-uh. Come on. If we would just say, okay, Father, I'll get up. I know I'm going to be tired, but I'll get up. And just start to live our lives that way. Listen, it's not so you can say, well, I got up at 5 o'clock today and I did this and I did that and the other thing. But is he our desire? In Psalms it says that we desire for the word of God. Desire his word. Do I hunger for his word? Do I desire his word? Somebody said this, the more I seek Jesus, the less likely I am to sin. The more I seek the world, the less likely I am to know Jesus. Remember we looked in Peter, it says that we can grow in revelation, in understanding, in our knowledge of grace, if you will, by just pursuing him, by just looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know, it's the love of God that does these things in our lives. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:11, he says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves," say loves, "he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights." Remember, Jesus said in John 15:9 that if we would abide in his love, we would bear fruit. This is not something where God, you know, takes and beats us and hits us over the head and says, "You must become good. You must become good. You must be." It's not what this is. But it's his love. And if you want to see what love is like, read the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful or proud or arrogant or rude. Does not demand its own way. But God loves you and I so much that he's put the seed on the inside. Now, will you and I just take the water of the word and just refresh that seed and just start to meditate on it, start to pursue Jesus, start to live for him by looking to him, the author and the finisher of our faith? Hebrews 12:11, he says, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have" what? "Been trained by it." Remember, Titus 2:12 says that grace trains us. Jesus trains us. He leads us. He guides us. He disciples us. It's good to have mentors in our lives and people that we can pray with and people that we can discuss the word with. But it's Jesus that comes along in form of the Holy Spirit. He says, "I'm going to send another one just like me, a comforter." And what he does is he comes and he corrects like nobody can. He points us in the right direction if we just keep our eyes fixed on him. So this morning, would you say, "Jesus, I'm going to look to you, the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to jump ship. I'm not going back to shore, but I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to run my race. I'm going to see my life bear fruit because Jesus is working on the inside of me." Would you say that this morning? Yes, let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the word of God that has been sown in these hearts today. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come this morning the way that only you can, and by your unfailing love, just speak to us. Wash over us. Wash over us, O Lord, with the power of your Spirit. Wash over us, heal and cleanse. Oh Lord, I look to you. I look to you, the author of my faith. By your unfailing love, by your unspeakable gift, and fan the flame. Come and purify my heart by faith. You are my strength. You're my hope. You're my peace. You're my joy. You're my everything. Oh Lord, you're my everything. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. The Lord says, "Where have you been? I'm here. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you the rest that you desire." Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, maybe you're here today and you've never entered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to pray for you. He wants to be your peace, your confidence, your joy, your hope. You can't get right with God by your own merits, by your own works. I know before I came to Christ, I tried to do that. It doesn't work. But you're here today, and when I ask you a question of whether or not you know beyond a shadow of a doubt where you would spend eternity, when I ask you that question, you don't know. If I ask you, if you knew you were going to spend eternity in heaven, you wouldn't know. If that's you today, I want to pray for you, because listen, it's as simple as receiving the gift that is Jesus, receiving the seed of God, the engrafted word. So you're here this morning and you don't know that you're on your way to heaven. Jesus wants to say, look, I want you to be my disciple. I want to come and pour myself into your life and give you a future and a hope like you've never imagined. If that's you today, I want to pray for you. On the count of three, I want to see your hand. One, two, three, quick. Just lift it up. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Just lift it up high. Yes, Lord. Anybody else? I saw that hand. Just a gentleman, lift your hand. Could you just look at me? I just want to say something. I'm so proud of you. That's a great decision. I commend you. I want to pray with you and everybody else. We're just going to pray. I've got a friend of mine that's going to give you some information. If you take that home, I just want you to read through it. Turn in the card. And I want to pray for you this week. But right now, I just want to lead you in a prayer. And if we could all just pray together. Let's say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you today, and I receive your free gift. I ask you to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from my unrighteousness. I turn my back on my old life, and now I'm going to live out of that new man, which is the seed of God, living on the inside of me. Thank you for loving me and cleansing me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen. Let's rejoice together. That is good news. That is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome. Well, get involved in the life of the church. There's going to be a few more announcements on the slide that comes down. Please just read those. Trish and I'll see you at the back doors. Have a great week. Tell somebody how much Jesus loves them.